Good morning, Christ Community Chapel family. It really is great to see you. My name is Mark Lyle. I'm the campus pastor here. Pastor Joe Coffey is our lead pastor, and he is one of our primary teaching pastors. I say that because some of you may be fairly new to us, that is, and so you've come in for a few weeks, and just about now that bumper video comes up, and then Pastor Joe comes up, and you say, I really like that guy, that Pastor Joe guy. I like him too. He is a great, great communicator, but you have me today. So, well, that's very kind of you. Richard, it is really great to have you with us too. It's been fun, been trying to get you out here for a while, so it really is good to have you with us. Wow, man. This has been a really good series, and I really have enjoyed a lot of the weeks. And if you did not hear last week, one of the Dirty Dozen last week was the Apostle Thomas, the disciple Thomas, and I thought Pastor Joe did really an incredible job wrestling with the issue of doubt. And I've told you before, doubt has been part of my faith walk my entire life. And I think it's really easy to feel tremendous guilt when we face doubts in our faith. And I think Pastor Joe just did a masterful job of helping us understand the role that doubt has and how we can grow in our faith. So please take advantage of things like podcasts or jump online if you didn't get to hear it, and spend 25-30 minutes this week listening to it, okay? I want to also extend a welcome. If you're visiting with us, what a joy it is for us to have you with us. Our greatest joy is that this would be a church home for you. So if you have any questions, feel free to talk to me, or as like Richard said, there's a welcome center out there, and there are folks who would love to answer questions you could have about the church you might have. We try to understand God's Word at Christ Community Chapel. We believe that Scriptures are the living, active Word of God. And so we try to spend as much time there on a Sunday morning during worship service as we can. It's true today. We're going to be in the book of Luke, one of the Gospels, chapter 19. So take your physical Bible out or your virtual Bible or whatever it takes for you to get there and go to Luke chapter 19. As we see today that one of the Dirty Dozen is Zacchaeus. And the other reason I've enjoyed this, and you've heard Pastor Joe say it, this series, is not just because the stories are interesting, and they are, but each of the people that we've chosen in the Dirty Dozen series represents a truth about our souls. And because God's Word is active and living, it's a great reminder to you that while every one of these people brought before Jesus what seemed like a filthiness that could not be cleaned, it's their very encounter with Jesus that has caused them to be restored and redeemed. And the great news for you is that regardless of what you bring here today, you have come into the presence of the Son of God who can rescue you. And that is the best news. Read along with me Luke 19. Let's tackle the first 10 verses. He entered Jericho, that's talking about Jesus, and he was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. Now, for those of you who have been part of church your whole life, you are fighting the urge to sing the song out loud, aren't you? All right? The phrase, wee little man, is not in here at all right? But he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. And when he saw it, when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of the man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And this is the word that God has for us today. So, let me tell you a little bit about Zacchaeus. In fact, what I'd like to do is, the way I'd like to go through this is really in three sections, three main points. Number one, who is Zacchaeus? So, let's just look at who this guy is. Secondly, what happened? So, who is he? What happened? And then, why do we care? All right? So let's start out with, who is Zacchaeus? I want to remind you, interesting, fascinating story, but as I often tell you, keep in mind, we're reading from the book of Luke. Luke, a doctor, said at the beginning of his gospel, "I have carefully researched everything from the beginning, and the things that he brings us are to affirm who Jesus is." John said the same thing in his book. He said there were all kinds of things that Jesus did and said, and not all of them are recorded, but the things that are recorded are so that you believe. And that "you" projects all the way out 2,000 years to you and me. So while Zacchaeus is interesting, if we walk away just going, "Wow, that's a kind of a cool story about a guy," we've missed it. Because what this account of Zacchaeus is to do is to bring you deeper and closer to Jesus. So who is Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a Jewish tax collector. I don't love paying taxes. My guess is neither do you. Talking about taxation is not wildly popular, because even in a country like ours, which I think is a magnificent country and has an awful lot of justice in it, I still feel ripped off when a government takes my funds. Not all the time. I drive back and forth on Route 8 quite a bit. Route 8 is an absolute mess right now. But the glorious thing is, soon it's going to be fixed and my car will travel at 74 wonderfully on it, okay? And so I feel okay. I don't love that somebody took my money to put my tax dollars to work, but I love that something that will benefit me comes out of it. But with Zacchaeus, you got to understand, this is different. I don't know about you, but I would feel horrible if money was taken from my paycheck and was taken to Europe to improve the roads there. That's more what the situation was like for those who lived in Palestine at this time. Because they were under the control of the Romans, Zacchaeus, a Jew, was a chief tax collector, so he was really a man without a nation, because he wasn't a Jew because he was working for those who would extort, and he wasn't a Roman, and in a lot of ways he was a traitor. And not only is he a tax collector, but we learn a couple other things about him. It says he was a tax collector and he was rich, which means he was either pretty good at tax collecting or he was pretty good at extorting. And I can tell you, it was the second. Okay? one other particular characteristic that Luke lets us know about Zacchaeus, and this is about all, is that he was a chief tax collector, he was wealthy, and he was a wee little man, right? And we only know that because he desperately wanted to see Jesus. He knew Jesus was passing through Jericho. He had heard somehow, and because of that, he wanted to see him, but it says he couldn't see him because of the crowds. So what he did was he went on ahead, and he saw a sycamore fig tree, and he scrambled up into it. I was talking to Tim Huben, our student ministries guy, who has been to Israel, and he said on the particular tour he was on, they took him to what they say is the tree. Okay, now I don't know. That's a really old tree. But they did take him to a sycamore tree, and he said one of the interesting things about it is it can fairly easily conceal somebody. Now, before you criticize past generations for their silliness of clambering up into a tree to see someone, I think you folks have forgotten the 2016 championship parade in Cleveland. There is Facebook evidence of grown adults clambering into trees to see the king come by. So this isn't all that strange. He's not huge, can't see over the crowds. He goes ahead, scrambles up into a tree, and gets his unique chance to see Jesus, to get a glimpse of Jesus. What makes a guy want to see Jesus this desperately? So as Jesus comes by, not only does Zacchaeus get to see Jesus, but Jesus sees Zacchaeus. And he says to him, "Zacchaeus, you come down, because I need to go to your house." And I always thought that was strange. I thought this was like Jesus inviting himself, like, hey, this guy's pretty, maybe he had heard, he's pretty wealthy, he's probably got a decent house, that might be an okay place to hang out. And what a weird thing that Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. But what I came to understand as I studied Luke a little bit more is that Jesus is saying, I must go to your house. This carries the emphasis of as if this is something that was preordained when God created the world. It almost carries that kind of weight to it, which made total sense when I dropped back to Luke chapter 18, one chapter. And if you can, flip back there with me and let me read something to you. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells his disciples and the crowd a parable. And listen to what it is. Starting in verse 9, he said, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. And here's the parable. This is a completely made up story by Jesus. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I never put that together. Do you guys see what happened in Luke chapter 18? Jesus teaches a powerful lesson. Let's camp on it for a second, because it's really powerful. It starts with a guy who does all of the stuff that you and I think should be the stuff somebody should do to get God's attention or to be God's favorite child. I mean, this guy says he does what? He fasts not just once in a while. He fasts twice a week. He gives regularly. He worships regularly. And all that stuff is good stuff. I tell you guys, you who are in Christ, I want you to have disciplines in your life. I want you to pray. I want you to take in God's word regularly. I want you to fast. I want you to give. I want you to meditate on God's word. I want you to enjoy the fellowship of his people. All those things are good things. But in the story that Jesus tells, he says, in this particular guy that we call a Pharisee, when all those things happened, they bubbled up, and what they created was not gratitude and righteousness, but in fact, they bubbled up and became nothing but pride. And here's why I tell you is because we, every one of us, are not exempt from that. Friends, you and I are all, we are all susceptible to doing all of the right things and having it express itself all the wrong way. That's the truth. That's the complexity of our hearts. You need an example? I don't think you do, but I'll give you one. And if hearing my struggles helps you, great. I'm driving out to get my car e-checked. That's not the point of the story. But on the way yesterday, I saw somebody come out of walking through a parking lot that I thought, wow, that person should take better care of themselves. And then I looked and I saw that they were coming out of a gym. And I thought, what a wicked heart I have. I don't know that person. I don't know that person's condition. And my snap judgment was something about their life and their discipline. And I'm a guy who's trying to follow Jesus. And that's the truth of my heart. And it's the truth of yours. Is that we are in danger. And so Jesus tells this parable, and the disciples are probably, that's fascinating. And then next thing they know, a couple days later, guess where they are? In the home of a tax collector. So they are going to watch play out the parable that Jesus told. And what it says is when Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus receives him joyfully. And instead of the crowd made up of a lot of Pharisees, instead of them going, hey, this is great. We're going to get to understand and learn more about Jesus. We're going to get to see God reach out to even those who are unworthy. They grumble. They say, who is this guy to go and dirty himself by spending time with the dirty? My son Tommy is headed in the fall to go to Ohio State. He went to high school at CVCA, Cuyahoga Valley Christian Academy. CVCA and Ohio State are a little different. And he's anxious. He's a little worried because he's starting to understand that it was easier to live for Christ at CVCA, where you have great teachers cheering you on, way to go, way to follow Christ. And so he's knowing that he's going to go into a slightly different world. And as he's been doing this, he's been group chatting with those he's going to room with. And he says, you know, hey, I'm looking forward to getting to know you guys. And he tosses out there, he's like, hey, you know, maybe, do you think we could all like agree, like not drink in our rooms and not have girls in our rooms, in our room? There's going to be a room for four of them. And one of the guys texts back and he says, dude, it's not my fault that you came to Ohio State. I don't know what you expected, but we're going to drink. You don't have to. And we're going to have girls in our room. First of all, I kind of laugh at that. Like, this guy thinks he's some kind of Romeo already. You know, he's going to. But Tommy got incredibly anxious about that. He's like, Dad, what should I do? And I said, Tommy, first of all, I want to make sure that you don't feel like just because you are there that somehow you are guilty by association. That's what the Pharisees were trying to do with Jesus, right? If you're in the proximity, you're guilty by association. And I said, I can't tell you the rest of what I said because that's the close of my sermon and I'd have to let you go too early. So what happened to Zacchaeus is what we got to consider next. Because once Jesus came into his house, he didn't lord it over the people that didn't like him and go, hey, Jesus chose me over all of you. Some wild, instant transformation happened. He receives Jesus. Jesus comes to him physically, and he stands up and he makes a declaration, and he says, as of now, he says two things. Number one, and I'm going to go backward because it's kind of cool how Micah 6:8-ish this is. You say, what do you mean by that, Mark? Let me remind you, he has shown you, O man, is what Micah 6:8 says. He's shown you, O man and woman, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy. And what Zacchaeus stands up and says is, hey, as of this moment, if I've cheated anybody, and he has, I will give back to them fourfold justice. Oh, by the way, half of my goods, half of what I have, I'm giving to the poor. Mercy. This guy goes, what you see in this short passage is a guy whose heart was gripped with greed to the point that he would extort his fellow man for his own benefit. And in his encounter with Jesus, his heart, his values, his worldview are absolutely turned on end, and his life turns into wild generosity. And that is the real power of proximity to Jesus Christ. The pride that might grip you, the greed that might grip you, as Jesus Christ comes close, those things get transformed. And you and I have the opportunity to begin to live a life that is reflected with the generosity of our time, of our talent, and of our treasure. Now, let me show you one other thing really quickly. The other thing we saw that it said about Zacchaeus is he is rich. In one chapter earlier, again, in Luke chapter 18, there's a really interesting story, and it's the story of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to get into eternal life or inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commands? And he says, I've done all these since I was a boy. What am I lacking? And Jesus says, one thing you're lacking. Take your goods and do what? Sell them to the poor. Give them to the poor. or sell them and use them for the poor. Recognize the need in the world. Take your talents. Let your talents meet the need of the world. Act mercifully as if you are a son of God. And when the rich young ruler received this word, it says he went away sad. Have you ever thought, probably not, in Luke 18 and Luke 19, these are two stories of two rich men. When the rich young ruler says, I'm really sad, Jesus goes on to teach his disciples, and he says how hard it is for someone who is wrapped up by the weeds of wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And in the very next chapter, he comes in contact with the bottom dweller, tax collector, who's totally wrapped up in the weeds of wealth. And why doesn't he go on with him and say how hard it is to enter? Because what he did was he recognized the greatness of God. He, with joy, said, I want to give away all my stuff because I want to be doing the work of God. And the only difference is not the pocketbook value. The only difference is the condition of the heart, the recognition of the greatness of Jesus, knowing that Jesus Christ will give you eternal life, totally changed the perspective of Zacchaeus. So what do we do? Why do we care? Here's why. A couple different reasons. I'm going to tell you quick. I got an email this week. The email, I'm giving away some of our secrets, all right? So don't sell them to other churches. If you visit with us, I send you an email to just say thank you for visiting. So if you're visiting and you get an email, don't be surprised because I'm glad you're here. And then in 6 months after you've been here, we send you another email that says, have you been able to connect? It's just a follow-up email. Have you been able to connect? Did you like the church? Did we do anything right? Did we do anything wrong? Just tell us, what was your experience like? And we don't always hear back, but this week I got forwarded to me an email that came back. And it said, we love the church, we love the people, but we realized that the church calls sin something that we don't think is sin. So we can't come back. Because it's not. And it was hard for me because first of all, sometimes I feel like people think I have fun calling out sin. When we come to a passage like this, you guys, we have to wrestle with a couple things. Because Jesus himself went and hung out with sinners. The thing I told Tommy is the same thing I'm going to tell you. And that is, God has not saved you for your greatness. God has saved you because in verse 10 of this passage it says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you were lost. And when you're found, you become a child of the King who does the work of the King, that is to go and seek and save that which is lost. And in most cases, to do that, you are going to have to enter arenas where they are not doing things glorifying to God. You can either do that, or you can stand in judgment over them as the Pharisee did. As a child of God, you carry the great news of rescuing. And as I told Tommy, I said, Tommy, your job, your life now is to go and be salt and light in a world that doesn't yet know Jesus. So for you and I, we have, if you are in Christ, if you're in Christ, one of the takeaways for us today is recognize that People desperately need God. The people around you desperately need God, and God has moved you into their world with the opportunity of carrying Jesus there. For those of you who are still searching, you relate more to the Zacchaeus in the tree, going, I'm still trying to just get a glimpse, just try to understand. If that's the case, let Jesus come close. Read his word, talk to his people, continue to come and worship. The last thing I want to leave you with is just kind of a cool, it's just kind of a cool little thing. In the two stories, Luke 18, the rich young ruler, Luke 19, the story of Zacchaeus. We never know the name of the rich young ruler. We never find out. But we know who Zacchaeus is. We know his name. We sing Sunday school songs about him. Both had the same condition. The only difference is Jesus Christ promises eternal life. You got to figure out where you are. You got to figure out if on Monday you take Jesus with you or you leave him right here. God, thanks for the glory of your word. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit that miraculously in each of us takes your word and brings it home to our hearts. We know exactly what we need to surrender. We know what kind of pride we need to let go of. We know that we need to humble ourselves, and even all of that is the good work of your Spirit. So again, we give you praise and honor and glory today, and we ask that in your grace, you would cause us to go out and be merciful and not judgmental. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stan, let me send you out to be the church with a benediction. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the constant fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each one of you until we shall meet again, or until our Savior comes, and then forever. Amen. Go and have a great week in Christ. There's a kind of thing that just
breaks a man. Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed.